Welcome to the Ages of Rock podcast with your hosts, Bill Algy, Dennis Talbot, and Alan Tate. We are three guys who have one thing in common, a love of rock and roll. Our goal is to talk about all things rock. We hope you find this show intriguing, funny, and occasionally highly opinionated. Enjoy.
Hey, it's Bill Algy from Ages of Rock podcast. I am with Kent Hilly from Perfect Plan. How are you doing, man?
Hi, man. I'm doing fine. Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing great. I ran home at lunch today to do this podcast, but I'll tell you why.
Yeah.
I was listening to some random music a couple of weeks ago, probably about a month ago, and couple of the singles from the new record, Brace for Impact, popped on my playlist.
Okay.
And I'm like, this is some really good stuff, man. I really enjoyed it. So I started digging around and then I'm like, okay, this is record's not out yet. I got a hold of some folks and they connected us, which is great, man. I'm telling you, I love this record. It's
Thank you, man.
It is great.
It's our third album. So is it the first time you've heard us?
It was the first time I heard you, but I've downloaded the other two.
And I'm great. It's great to get some new fans and new listeners. I think that, you know, with this third album, it's a bit different from the others in terms of the sound, because the sound is a bit heavier and a bit harder. And I've seen that we've received some new fans as well because of that. I think it still has, you know, the Perfect Plan sound in terms of melodies and hooks and the guitar riffs, and it's still, you know, melodic, but a bit harder and heavier than before. Yeah,
I would agree. I downloaded the other two as well. And so I could listen to those too. And yeah, it is a little bit different, but yeah. I think the thing that's really great about the band is they do have that melodic hook that goes through, you know, even the other two albums as well. But your voice, dude, is killer. I mean, it is.
Thanks, man.
It's really amazing.
Thank you.
We interview a lot of people, and to be honest with you, I don't say that a lot because, you know, I'm sure people hear that all the time and it's kind of like, yeah. But there are some people I'm like, it's really kind of grabs you. And I'm one of those kind of people that when you hear that first song on a record, if the first song doesn't grab me, I'm like, I'm out.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. 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 It's basically the same thing with me. When I listen to something nowadays, you know, the first 20, 30 seconds, if it don't grab me, I just switch to another song, or, you know, it's a bit different how people listen to music nowadays. You know, you got Spotify and YouTube, and you know, you can switch between bands and artists and songs, you know, within a second, you know. So you know, when I grew up in the 80s, you know, you bought the vinyls and CDs and you listened to the whole album. When you bought the record, you just had 30, 40 seconds of listening before you bought the record. But when you came home, you listened to the whole album. And obviously you got disappointed sometimes, but nowadays it's the buyer's market when it comes to music. And it's a tough business to stand out, you know, with all the releases that are coming out every week. I mean, we're just grateful to be able to do what we do and to have a label that believes in us and fans and listeners that, you know, still wants and demands, you know, more music from us. And so we're just grateful to be able to do this, you know, at our age, because, you know, we're 50 plus in the band and I live on music nowadays, and I'm very grateful for that. You know, I never thought that, you know, 5-6 years ago when we got the record deal with Frontiers that I'd be able to live on music. but it's not, you know, you can't take that for granted. You know, it's basically I just look ahead 6 months and we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, you know, I think it is interesting. So,
yeah,
because the first record came out in 2018, right? So, but yeah, you were doing music before that, obviously, right? You didn't just wake up one morning in your 40s and go, you know, or late 30s and go, hey, I'm going to start doing music today. So,
yeah, but basically, my story is that I when I started very late with singing, I was 33 years of age when I started singing. So obviously I've been singing in the shower like everyone else, but it was all about sports for me the first 30 years of my life. And you know, I played in your terms soccer in Sweden, and I was a semi-professional for some years. And I wanted to do something, you know, after my football or soccer career, and I started learning the acoustic guitar and started to play around. I was at this party with a friend of mine who's a musician, and we started jamming around on with some Europe songs, he just said to me that you know. You got a great voice. You need to do something with that. And so I started up a cover band and a tribute band, and played around with those bands for, you know, 13, 14 years before I started writing my own songs. And I started writing songs in 2013, maybe. And on the first attempt, with the cover band that we had at that point, which is basically today's Perfect Plan. So all the members from that, except for the bass player, is still in the band. On our first attempt with writing our own songs, we got a record deal. So but I'm a late bloomer. But the others in the band have played since they were, you know, 5-6 years of age, but I started out very late. So, yeah. Wow.
Who are some of your influences then?
Yeah, you know, when it comes to this music, the influences are quite obvious, basically. To me, you know, it was Giant, Europe, Whitesnake, you know, Jolin Turner, Rainbow, Foreigner, Survivor, Jimmy James and Lou Graham, you know, all those greats has been a huge influence on me. So in terms of my vocal techniques and things like that. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting you say Jim Jameson, because that's somebody you don't hear much. You don't hear people mention very much in Survivor, and he had such a great voice.
Yeah. I think he's, you know, it's a tie between him, Lou Graham, Jolin Turner, Dan Huff, you know, for me. But they got, you know, they got some different styles and different techniques. And they're, you know, their vocal language, so to speak, and how they attack a song, and the feel and the soul of the song. I like, you know, very soulful singers. And when I do a song, I just want to give it, you know, 100% soul, you know. It needs to be soulful for me. So, you know, I get all into, you know, the soul of the song. So, yeah.
Do you like soul music too? I mean, is that part of your listening genre? Yeah. Yeah. So that's kind of that drive.
I've listened a lot to soul music and R&B, you know, Michael McDonald, for instance. I really like the way he sings and the way he attacks a song. And the first time I heard him, I thought he was, you know, black, because he sounded so soulful. And you know, so I grew up listening to all kinds of music, but, you know, soul, R&B, you know, even, you know, bands like Depeche Mode, Yazoo, and I was into that era as well. mid-year ultra walks, you know. And but then got really hooked on melodic rock and AOR, Giant and Europe and those bands, and Survivor and Foreigner, of course.
Yeah. It's you know, so I just a quick question. What are your thoughts? You know, obviously Lou Gramm's not been in Foreigner for a long time. But I really dig Kelly Hansen's voice and what he's done with that.
And how
he sounds in that band. And, you know, there's a lot of, you know, we're going through this thing right now. I think all of us are, where we're all getting older and some of those guys can't play like they used to or sing like they used to. And, you know, and Foreigner's one of those bands that I've loved forever. Right. But, you know, they're to the point now where there's, you know, if, you know, they can get one member, original member to the stage, you know, it's pretty lucky, but I think Kelly has stepped into that spot and done a great job in that band.
And really kept
it going. So,
He's done a really great job. And, you know, I love Kelly Hansen's, vocal style as well. And, you know, the first time I heard Kelly was actually when he did the Unruly Child album, a song called Forever, which is a really great song. And, you know, he's got a great voice. He's got a great personality. He's a great artist. And, you know, I think he's done a tremendous job with Foreigner. And, you know, it's hard to replace a legend like Lou Gramm, you know. I mean, it's basically impossible, but I think Kelly is as close you can get.
Yeah, I think he's one of those guys that doesn't try to do Lou Gramm. He does Kelly Hansen, and that's okay. And I there's so many times you get that situation where somebody goes and fills in and they try to be somebody else. Like, we, you know, that's done. Just be you and do you. And, you know, I think that's a pretty good gift that he's gotten, and it's, you know, it works. They fill seats. They're putting butts in the seats, and that's what matters. So
And I think the similarities, you know, between guys like Lou Gramm, Kelly Hansen, Jimmy James, and so forth, and what I also strive is to get a lot of soul in the vocals, you know, Lou Gramm and Jimmy Jameson had a lot of soul in the way they sing. So so I think that if you have that and you can interpret a song very soulfully and you know, also in a very humble way, I think you will succeed. You know, obviously when you know, a guy like Kelly Hansen goes out on stage and sings like I Want to Know What Love Is, everyone thinks about you know, the original song with Lou Gramm. But I mean, people still want to hear those songs, and people still want to, you know, feel what they felt during the 80s when Foreigner put out those songs. And, you know, so there's still a market for that.
I've been to, you know, hundreds of shows over the years, and, you know, I still love going back to seeing, you know, those bands that you know. It just, there's something, you know, magical about that time. And, you know, I had a conversation one time with Gene Simmons. It was an interesting situation, and I had taken a record for him to sign, and he said to me, he's like, "Why do you have that?" And I'm like, because I want you to sign it. And he goes, "Yeah, but do you listen to it?" And I go, "Yeah, I listen to it." And he goes, "Why do you listen to it? It sounds like shit." And I'm like, "No, it doesn't." You know, and he goes, "You listen to it because it takes you back to a place and a memory." Then to your point, those bands do that same thing, right? That's the only reason why about vinyl, I collect vinyl again, you know. I've got almost 500. So it's like, but they're all stuff. There's some new stuff. I mean, obviously some new stuff. And actually, I'm going to try to get a Perfect Plan record before too long. But you know, the stuff I bought is all old stuff, but it just, there's something about it coming out of a stereo speaker that you can, you know, just it's just not the same. It just absolutely isn't the same.
No, so it's for real, you know, and you know, people wants to go back and back in time to those great times get those feelings again, you know, the bands still want to continue to do music, but you know, people get older. You can't sing like you used to do before when you're in the 70s or 65, 70 years old. But I mean, there's still some great singers out there doing some great stuff, even in the 60s or 70s. Hopefully I can continue at least 20 years more.
Yeah, just got to take care of it, right?
Yeah, you need to take care of yourself. And look at Mick Jagger, you know, he's almost 80 years old. Maybe he is 80 years old.
Yeah, he's pretty close. Yeah.
Yeah, but he still sounds great.
Yeah, and I think I read yesterday, if I'm not mistaken, that they're putting a record out, their first new record of new music in like the Latin 18 years.
Yeah. Yeah, and, I read that too.
You know, they're going to go tour, and you know, they'll probably tour it because why not? But you know, most of the people going there couldn't care less about a new record.
No,
but it really isn't about that anymore, right? It's for those guys. No. It's for them that want to still make that. That is part of who they are. It's not just the old stuff. It's that ability to create new things.
Yeah, but I think that. Yeah.
No, go ahead.
Sorry. Now, I think that's the main thing why I do this is, I mean, I'm very lucky to be able to create something, you know, to create music and create something with my vocals, with, you know, writing lyrics and writing vocal melodies. I create something have the possibility to make myself proud of what I've done. So that's the main thing for me, you know, and to be able to do that with friends of mine in the band as well, you know, to share that experience. I mean, that's everything to me. And the bonus is getting fans and listeners to when they like it you know, send all their love to us and so forth. But I mean, the main thing for me is to be able to do that and create create new stuff. You know, that's the main thing.
Yeah. Interesting question for you. Since you kind of got into this a little bit later in life, has the fandom piece of it, where people coming up to you, has that been strange to kind of get used to, that people see you in a light that you used to see people in, or that you still see people in, that you're part of that group?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the first time we played live with Perfect Plan was in Milan on the Frontiers Festival in 2018. And, you know, you stand on stage and you don't know what to think about it, you know. And then you see people in the crowd singing the stuff you have written, and they know all the lyrics and, you know, sing along. And after the show, there's, you know, 40, 50 meters of people that wants you to sign things you know, get a picture with you. And I still remember it as it was yesterday, you know, because it felt so strange. You never think about yourself in that way. And, you know, obviously I've been a fan myself and you know, been on concerts and wanted to get signed things from my idols and things like that. But, you know, being on the other side of it, it still feels strange. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good feeling.
Yeah. And it's kind of interesting for me, at least, the more we've done the podcast, where we just recorded episode 328 last night. So this will go out, this show will go out in a couple of weeks. So we've been doing it for a while, not been a day or so. We usually do a weekly episode, so it's been a while. But all the artists and stuff that we've been able to meet through the process, you know, the thing I've learned is they're just guys or girls. You know, they're just people. We put them, you know, we kind of all put them on some little different playing field. Now, trust me, there are a few of them that are on a different playing field. I get it. But they're just people and they just want to have a conversation and they just want to talk. And some of the great experiences that we've had, it's just sitting down with somebody and just having a chat about whatever. And opening the book and seeing where it goes. And it's just so cool and exciting to be able to do that.
You know,
from my side.
And I'm quite happy that, you know, I'm in my 50s when this happened to me, because, you know, I'm hopefully more mature don't get, you know, overexcited about it. But I am very excited about it, but you know, if I was in my 20s, I don't think I had been able to cope with it in the same manner. But you know, I just feel that, you know, I can't really identify myself, and I think I'm not the only one among artists that can identify yourself like the god that some fans think you are, because you're just a human being. And it turned out that, you know, I can sing quite well, but some different people can, you know, they're good carpenters or they're good doctors or they're good nurses or, you know, whatever. That doesn't mean that I'm, you know, better than anyone else bigger than anyone else. I just want to be treated as a, you know, human being. And, you know, we got some, the thing is that, you know, for me is that getting people together and through music, I think that's, you know, one of the other things that, you know, gets me very motivated, because, you know, meeting fans and talk about music, you know, talking with you about our album and getting people together through music all the love and support you get through that and the discussions and you know the talks you get with people around it, it makes it all worth it. Definitely.
So just go back to the record for just a couple of minutes. We're going to be winding up here pretty soon. Is there a specific song on the record that is what you would think is your favorite? Or I know we ask that sometimes, people are like, no, we love all of them. That's why there's 10, you know, 12 12 songs on the record. It's like, is there one song on there that just really is, that was the one you wanted to make sure got on the record? And
I got, you know, two songs that are really, really special to me. And the first one is My Angel, because it's the only ballad on the album, but it's about my relationship with my daughter, it's about her. And she went through a rough patch and a rough time a couple of years ago. And one evening, you know, she had been struggling for about, you know, 5 or 6 months and you know, wasn't happy at all and so on. And one evening she just came down the stairs and with a big smile on her face. And so I wrote that song in about 15 minutes because my angel smiled again. So that song means very much to me. And so it has a special place in my heart. And the second song is Stop the Bleed. I think lyrically it's among the top three songs that I've ever written lyrically, because it's all about what is happening around in the world in terms of, you know, the haters on social media, the war in Ukraine, basically about all the hurt and you know the things that we do to each other as human beings, the evil in the society, if you could call it that. But I just read through some comments on a different artist's Facebook page, and that particular artist got some really nasty comments, so I just thought that this has to stop. You know, it's like a major bleed in society, you know, when it comes to social media and the way people treat each other on social medias and things like that. So it basically started out with that. So I just got the headline of the song, Stop the Bleed, you know, because people are bleeding, people are hurting, and you can't say anything, everything you want to people on social medias or anywhere. So basically the song is about that, and also all the different evil stuff that we do to each other and hurt each other. So I'm very proud of that song, because lyrically it's among the best that I've written.
Great. Yeah. And that sounds like that's got some true meaning, and definitely comes from the heart for both those, for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. But obviously there are, I mean, our main goal when we write songs is that it should be like putting on the jukebox when you listen to our record. You don't want the same thing all over again, you know, the same riff, but in a different tune. We got some bluesy stuff, we got some hard rock stuff, we got some slow stuff, we got some AOR, really melodic stuff and things like that. So it's a great variety of songs and different types of feelings in those songs. So, Gotta Slow Me Down is a very...
That's one of my favorites.
I really love that song.
Yeah, I like that song a lot.
Yeah. So, if you compare Gotta Slow Me Down with the first single, Surrender, totally two different songs. So it's great fun to listen to that record, because it's so dynamic and with a great variety of different types of songs.
Yeah, you get a little bit of different stuff here and there, which is nice. Yeah. It's not just the same kind of repeated cookie cutter kind of thing, for sure. Any chance on bringing Perfect Plan to America?
Oh man, I would love that. But you know, it's touring the States is tough. Very difficult. it's tough. It's obviously the financial side of it, because everything is possible in terms of, you know, renting a nightliner and go on tour, but you know, it's the financial side of it. I know that, you know, we get that question 100 times a day. When are you coming to the States? And I mean, we would love that. We would love to come to the States. And but I think that it all needs to get, you know, you need to get maybe four or five bands on the same tour, and, you know, get a lot of people coming to those gigs to be able to make it financially. And obviously also maybe a bigger band than us to front or headline.
Sure.
A tour like that, you know, like Whitesnake or something like that, you know, to be able to get the people that you need to make it financially work.
Yeah. So, and you got to play decent sized venues, because otherwise you can't make any money. You know, I went to see, Accept a couple of weeks ago, and they hadn't been to the States for quite a while. You know, they do, they're really good about touring the US, I mean, tour in Europe, you know, stadium tour, I mean, the, you know, summer tours and festivals and stuff, but they don't make it to the US very much. And so they were coming and they were about 4 hours from me, and I'm like, no, I'm going. And so I went, you know, it had, it was a fantastic show and really, you know, made me appreciate the fact that they got to come here and really made me think about that a lot differently. So it definitely kind of brings that a little more full circle for sure.
I mean, if you talk to Mick Jones in Foreigner or Neil Schon of Journey, we're we would love to open up for those bands, you know, if there would ever be a possibility to do that. I mean, that's a dream come true.
Yeah.
So if you talk to them.
Yeah, if I run across Neil or Mick, I'll put in a good word for you.
Great.
I would gladly do that. Hey, I think our time here, Kent, is about finished up. Do you want to plug where people can find you and find Perfect Plan?
Yeah, we got a Facebook page. If you just search on Perfect Plan, or you Google us Perfect Plan Band, you'll get a Facebook page or Instagram. You'll also get a webpage, perfectplan.se. And you can always find us on the Frontiers label page on both Facebook and Instagram and YouTube. The YouTube channel is quite huge. So, and you can find all our videos there. And search for Perfect Plan on Spotify and buy the records on the nearest record store. Yeah.
Yep. That's how we support artists, right?
Yeah. Sure. I mean, you won't be disappointed, I think.
I don't think so. All right. Hang out for just a second, Ken. I'm going to take us out of here. All right. Yep. For those of you listening, you can find us on all of the normal, usual outlets, Spotify and iHeartRadio, every place else. You can find us on YouTube as well. So hope to see you all there. And thanks for listening today.
Thanks for listening to the Ages of Rock podcast. If you haven't done so already, be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel, like us on Facebook, and most importantly, tell all your friends. Remember, you're never too old to rock. Until the next episode, peace out, folks.